Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back, everybody, to Caravan of Garbage, where this week we're taking a trip through time and also...
space and maybe dimensions, pocket dimension, the Phantom Zone.
My sanity.
Your sanity's in the Phantom Zone.
It's
spinning around in a big pane of glass.
Leave a like.
Yeah, if you wouldn't mind.
Terrible.
Oh, my God.
It's not often we watch something this terrible.
Well, I maybe saw this as a very young child.
I definitely did. I remember the dragon, okay. And I remember coming out of a lake...
Yeah, all I remember, I think I remembered Supergirl, obviously, and then her nemesis was a sort of like Maleficent, Evil Lyn style.
Sorcerer
situation, yes. Yeah. But boy, this movie is bad and long. It's so long. And we learned recently that apparently the American release in cinemas at the time in 1984, this is Supergirl 1984, it was 105 minutes. They trimmed it down. They're like, a lot of this needs to go. And guess what? They were right. But the present day one, what a treat. We get some sort of director's cut, don't we? Some sort of...
This is like the international release as well, the version that we watched. Paid money.
It's too long.
Way too fucking long. And the thing is as well, they weren't actually even going to release this after Superman 3. So that movie came out. We've talked about it. It's not good and it underperformed. And then I guess they saw a cut of this and went, yeah, no. So TriStar picked it up.
Just no.
So TriStar picked it up and went, yeah, okay, let's release this. And I guess to this film's credit, and there's maybe like three things I could say that about it, is that it is, in a lot of ways, a genuine attempt at a spin-off of the Chris Reeve Superman universe.
Yeah.
Like, it's very clearly set in that world.
I mean, tiny disadvantage in that Christopher Reeve did not want to be in this.
No.
And so they had a little news report on the radio where the announcer's literally like, Superman had to go into a space and he had to go a million trillion light years away. He won't be back for the duration of this. If you think maybe he'll pop up at the end, maybe to help out or something, or, you know, shake Supergirl's hand at the end and say, good job, slugger, or whatever.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
He will not.
So the initial plan was that, he was definitely going to cameo, and that was like right up until the last minute. But yeah, he's on a peacekeeping mission of some description.
Yeah.
Come on.
They don't have another Superman type like a million trillion light years away. Come on.
They've probably got a Green Lantern.
Probably a Green Lantern. A Mon-El. Maybe Mon-El is
maybe
out there.
Mon-El.
Speaking of funny names and funny words.
Sure.
Yes?
I guess the definitive tie-in is that Mark McClure is back as Jimmy Olsen.
That's right.
Yeah. Who I like as Jimmy Olsen. But I tell you what, I don't like him in this. Due to no fault of his own.
The writing is suspect for a lot of characters and a lot of the plot of this. It's very suspect.
Let's break down the plot, though. Normally, we don't really do a beat by beat anymore.
Also, a lot of the time, people do remember. Like, if we don't need to we don't need to break down the plot of Iron Man because everybody's seen Iron Man.
Yeah.
But nobody's seen this, and for good reason. But so Kara lives in Argo City, which is... It used to be a city on Krypton, but it wasn't destroyed when Krypton exploded because it got shunted off into an altered dimension. Or something?
Into a lake. We'll talk about it later.
Yeah. Now, Argo is powered by something called the Omega Hedron, which is like a big marble that contains like ultimate unlimited energy, and it can do anything. It can transform matter. It can create artificial life. It can really do any number of things. So one of the guys who's responsible for it just takes it out and just has a bit of a go on it, doesn't he?
And goes, look at this.
Just wandering around the city being like, look at what I can do. Just showing off little tricks, letting little kids have a go on it. What are you doing?
At one point, he kicks it across the floor.
He's not even looking, and he just... Like, imagine this in any modern context. Imagine, like, it's bring your daughter to work day at the nuclear power plant, and some engineer just pulls a plutonium rod out and just chucks it to their little girl.
Oh,
you'd go to prison.
Oh, and then it goes out the window.
Oh, yeah, as a sequence of events that perhaps, you know, involve giving it to an incompetent girl, Kara. It goes flying out the window, and everybody's like, we're all going to die.
What are you doing?
What are you doing, Zoltar? This Zoltar predates Big Zoltar by many years.
Oh, right, that's true, yeah.
Yeah. It's Peter O'Toole, and he's got this he's got this amazing, like, 1970s shaggy hair.
Looking good.
Clearly he had it done in the 70s.
I was going to say, I'm
not changing this. Yeah, I'm not changing this. I've peaked, and I'm never going back. A British man has never had better hair than this.
Completely agree.
Anyway, so then the citizens of Argo are like, we're all going to die now because you were just...
You basically shot our generator out of a window.
You were doing walk the dog with our ultimate power source, and now it's gone. So Kara gets in their one and only spaceship.
Yep.
She just gets in it, and it just activates itself, and then it flies in search of the Omega Hedron.
Mm-hmm.
But fortunately, the Omega Hedron lands on Earth in the picnic spread of a witch. Which is wild, because are there a bunch of witches in this world?
Here's something I'll give it credit for.
Yes.
So the villain in this is a witch.
It's Faye Dunaway.
Yep. Great. Good stuff. I do like some of the casting in this. They clearly put a lot of money into the casting and some other things, and they're not other things.
Yes.
But one of Superman's weaknesses, and as an extension of that, Supergirl, is magic.
Now, you say that, and that is true, and I did have that thought, but I absolutely think you are giving the movie too much credit.
Oh, like that they thought about it.
They thought about that. I think they just went, okay, Supergirl, what are girls like? Girls like witches and magic and spells and potions, don't they? And fairy dust? Just make her a witch. Who cares?
You're right.
I don't think they went, well, canonically, the Superman family's weakness is magic, so we've got to include that.
You're 100% right. I'm sorry.
Anyway, this witch is sort of magic, but not... A little bit magic.
Got a real creepy British guy who's teaching her some magic, but he also works at the girls' boarding school, which Kara ends up attending. But she should be searching for the power source.
Yes, here's the thing. All right, let's... Okay, so she lands on Earth, and the ship lands in the water. She emerges fully formed as Supergirl with the costume and everything.
They don't explain that.
She has the powers of, like, 1970s Superman family. It's like Clark Kent in the other movies.
Well, her hair changes colour and
I mean, there is a moment, she emerges as Supergirl, and her job should be just fly around the world in a second and find the thing and grab it and leave.
And you maybe have a watch that tells you when you're close to it?
Yeah,
you don't. I'm not sure.
Easy done. This should have been a five-minute job. But she emerges from a forest, and she sees a bunch of girls at sort of a private prep school playing baseball, and she's like, I reckon I'll waste a lot of time in this situation for some reason. I guess Clark has a secret identity that we know about somehow. So I'll just do that. And there's a moment where she walks behind a bunch of trees and she magically transforms into Linda Lee, which is a character she sort of invents. And she's got all her hair suddenly dark, and then she's got the private school uniform on. And again, it's like 1970s Superman magic.
In the 80s.
But I like to think that what she's actually doing is she's just running at super speed, and she's just killing and skinning a bunch of, like, stray students. She's like, oh, I'll take that blazer. Oh, I'll take this person's scalp. Here we go. But, yeah, so then there's like, high school hijinks.
Yeah.
She's like, she takes a name from Robert E. Lee.
It's the weirdest high school. Oh, yeah, she does. It's the weirdest high school as well, because what is that principal doing? Like, she walks in on him, and he's just like, oh, I hate everything, and I'm a bad guy, and I hate all my staff. Oh, you know what I'm talking about. Anyway, let's all walk into this girl's dormitory together. You're a grown man. What are you doing? It's the 80s. I mean, it's sort of the 70s, but it's the 80s. What are you doing? Horrible.
I just have a note here that says, I'm very concerned about who's in love with who in this movie in all their various ages.
Okay, another big part of this movie is that Faye Dunaway creates a love spell because she wants a random landscaper who happens to be working on the school.
But she doesn't make a lot. Like, she wants this guy to fall in love with her, right? But she doesn't use the ultimate power of the Omega Hedron, which could presumably do this, that she has in her possession already.
Yeah.
She's like, I'm going to use some sort of home brand love potion made out of Eye of Newt or whatever. She's like, is this going to work? I don't know.
Yep.
Just use the reality bending thing, I reckon.
Yep.
Maybe, I don't know.
So the idea is that when he comes out of his, like, trance, the first person that he looks at, he'll fall in love with. This is a fucking Supergirl movie. Anyway, so when he eventually comes out of his trance after a little action sequence, he obviously looks at Supergirl and he falls in love with her, but then it wears off, but then he's just in love with her anyway, and she's just like, cool, whatever, we're hanging out. Also, it's Hart Bochner. It's the coked up 80s guy from Die Hard.
Yes, it
which
is.
Which I love. It is. Big fan of that.
That's right. But how old's he and how old's she supposed to be?
Well, she's a school student.
Yeah, and he's an adult, presumably.
Yeah, he's an adult man.
And also, she is, Linda Lee is rooming with Lucy Lane,
yes,
who looks about 14, but she's in love with Jimmy Olsen, it seems.
And Jimmy Olsen comes to visit for the weekend.
And he looks a bit like a kid, but he's also a 40.
He's a man.
He's a man. And everybody's like, all of this is fine. There's no meta commentary. At the end, they don't all get put in a room and be like, stop this. This is...
yes.
Jor-El's come. I've come back from the dead. And I'm just telling you all this is inappropriate.
Yeah.
Coming from me.
Exactly.
Marlon Brando.
That's pretty rich. I know that. Maybe you should pay attention. Well, I don't like any of the schooling or lessons here or any of the Kryptonian architecture. Just to get back to it with Argo City, what is that weird open plan situation? Like there's school and art and beanbags and there's no walls. And, like, it's all encased in, like, glad wrap.
It was like an Ewok village, but with all the colour leached out. I didn't understand it.
And
I guess that's their culture, James, and you've got to respect their culture.
I guess I do. But it's weird because they clearly put money into things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And they put money into the casting because, as mentioned, Peter O'Toole, Faye Dunaway, Mia Farrow. And then they put $1 million, literally $1 million into the opening credits.
Mm.
And then they've got other bits
just the weird glowing stuff.
Yeah.
Just the...
just that goes forever.
Just some lines and text. That was $1 million.
Yes.
Astounding.
But then there's other bits where they actually just put a cutout of Supergirl on a piece of wood and just pulled it out of the lake. And
you see
the wire. You see the wires in this all the fucking time.
Supergirl just loves flying over stock footage of wild animals.
Yep.
Just badly composited into that.
Absolutely.
If we mentioned casting,
yeah.
I really like Helen Slater.
I think
as
she's
Supergirl.
Fine, yeah.
I think she's got the look.
Yep.
I think she's got the sort of wide-eyed naivete of a person experiencing a culture for the first time. Although at the same time, sometimes they do go a bit far because sometimes she can understand sixth-dimensional Kryptonian mathematics and mm-hmm. sometimes she's like, what's a tree?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, come on,
man.
She also writes a cover letter for herself.
That's true, yeah.
She's just like, oh, I know what that is. I'll just quickly type that up. That's no problem.
That's right.
Bizarre 70s Superman logic.
I'll just put it in this filing cabinet, which I know what it is.
Exactly.
You wouldn't know unless it's white and crystal. What are you talking about? You know what any of this is.
So Emma Porteous, she designed the suit, and she also designed the
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
one. And you see that. I think the suit is genuinely good, especially for the era. And the other thing is there's an early version of this costume which has the headband. And as a result of that, that's the reason why the costume was changed in the comics for Crisis on Infinite Earths, where Supergirl dies. So that's why she's got the headband and it's this.
Yeah.
It was what this was going to be.
And then they changed it and then the comics were left in a lurch with like, oh, well now we've made one of the worst costumes of all time.
Yeah.
Great stuff.
And also, yeah, she's bad at being Supergirl. Like, so the big action sequence in the town, there's a moment where she has to put out a fire, and instead of using, like, her freeze breath or her wind breath or whatever, she just punctures a fucking water tower.
Yeah.
Which is, like, that's the town water supply, presumably.
And also, can't put out a tire fire with water.
That's a great point.
Use sand. Rookie mistake, Supergirl.
Should have used her sand eyes.
That's right.
Maybe it's a sand ear. I don't know what they do on Krypton.
Yeah, she's got a sand ear. Oh, my God. I've got a beach's worth in here.
And she tears. And Hart Bochner is being, like, captured by a crane or whatever. A digger. I can't remember. So she tears the end off it while he's in there.
And just lets the
and it just crashes.
With Lucy Lane in it.
Asleep at the wheel. Like, literally asleep. By the way, Jimmy Olsen, who happens to be in town at the same time.
You think maybe he'll have learned some lessons from Superman and he'll get in on the rescuing action. Nope.
Maybe he'll take a photo.
Yeah.
He doesn't.
Oh, that's one of my work colleagues' relatives that presumably she loves and cherishes. I'll just take some photos as she crashes into a convenience store. You're a monster, Jimmy. And you're going to jail for other things.
And there's also so much faffing about in this. And a lot of that is like love potion related. But what here's another thing that I do like. Faye Dunaway, the evil witch, has a mate who just hangs out with her.
Yeah.
And she just kind of stands next to her the whole time punching darts, being like, yeah, I don't know.
Oh, that didn't work. That magic you tried didn't work. Try something else.
Yeah, probably. I don't know. Maybe we shouldn't. I don't know.
I don't know.
But, you know, it's interesting because she's getting Hart Bochner out of all kinds of scrapes, you know? Except there's a moment where she doesn't stop a coconut falling out of the sky from
a precision-aimed, laser-guided magic coconut that Faye Dunaway hurls from the very heavens to crack him on the skull. Yeah. There's also a moment earlier where she's playing baseball and she just lets a baseball just like smash into her back and turn to dust. And everybody's like, that seems normal.
That's fine, right?
Yeah. Oh, and then she curtails some high school bullying at one point.
Yep.
A couple of the bullying girls are going to turn on some scalding water in the showers.
Yeah, like
and burn
a Porky style. Like...
Yeah. But then Supergirl turns on the heat vision and kills them both, presumably.
Here's another good thing.
Mm-hmm.
There's a great cowboy switch. I also think there's some great wire work in this in general. I think she looks quite graceful and clearly well-practiced at a lot of that. There's a moment where she flies down from the sky and it's clearly, you know, that's the stunt double, goes through or looks like she goes into a pipe and then Linda Lee runs out the other side.
That's right.
And I'm like, I like that also because you don't see the transformation. So you don't have to like...
Because they couldn't afford the transformation. They could rent some pipes.
I mean, they do it, but it never makes sense.
Yeah.
So just to not see it. So you're like, I don't know, she got changed quickly. Who cares or whatever. I like that. So, and at the end, she gets stuck in the Phantom Zone.
Yep.
Which is like a mud planet. And then Peter O'Toole's there and he's like, yeah, I went to jail because I kicked that thing out the window.
Yeah, remember my gross mishandling of that thing that could, you know, where everybody's dying in the city because I took it out and I did some juggling tricks with it. I did some contact juggling with this ultimate power source. Well, yeah, they exiled me to the Phantom Zone. They should.
And
they should have just shot you with a regular gun. Exile's too good for you, Peter O'Toole.
Completely agree. And she's like, we got to get back to Earth. We got to get out of the Phantom Zone. And he's like, well, you can't. Oh, wait, we can climb this mountain, actually.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that might get us out. One of us, at least. And she does, and she gets out, and at the end, she fights a dragon that she fought earlier that was invisible. And she's like, I can't do this. I'm being stretched. And Peter O'Toole's like, oh, just do it. I'm Obi-Wan now. And she's like, all right, I will. She does.
She does.
And then she flies into a lake.
Yep.
And that's the end.
Right. It's
because you don't see her land on Earth, right?
Yes.
She just comes out of the lake.
Uh-huh.
And at the end, she just goes back into the lake.
Do you think it's a metaphor? Do you think it's something to do with the lady in the lake?
I just assumed it was some kind of like pocket dimension in the lake or with it. I don't know because even the idea, Peter O'Toole says this up top, of leaving this horrible place where they all live, this crystalline, open-spaced WeWork fucking situation that I hate. Like, he's like, you can't. You'll be crushed. You'll die if you ever leave. So I don't know how she left or got back.
Mm.
And I've even written here, Mason, explain it to me.
I can't. But I have some miscellaneous stuff. Matt Frewer is in this.
He is.
Max Headroom himself.
He was in my green trivia.
All right then. Well, now he's out.
Yeah, you're out, Frewer.
No stranger to superhero stuff. He's also in. Watchmen. He's also in Watchmen. He's in the Generation X pilot that we'll cover one day.
Boy, is he.
Yeah.
Mm, that's good
stuff. He's also in Good Stuff. He's in Orphan Black as well.
Yeah, he's in Good Stuff as well.
He's in Good Stuff.
He's in Zack Snyder's Dawn of the Dead.
I think Lucy Lane has a Warren Beatty poster in her dorm room.
Sure.
I think. But that makes sense because Faye Dunaway.
Well, that's true.
And Warren Beatty
were
both in Bonnie and Clyde.
Yeah, and that's funny.
That's funny.
Yeah.
That's funny. Okay, I just had two things.
Well, those are great things, though.
Actually, I have a note here that says Supergirl arrives on Earth and just explodes a man's nuts.
Yeah.
Just kicks him so hard that he's propelled off God's own green Earth and through a fence, and that would have put his nuts in his throat, is all I'm saying.
What is interesting about that interaction is she's clearly doing Supergirl stuff, and they're like, oh, yeah, what about this, a knife? And it's like, dude, come on.
What are you
doing?
This is a world that has Superman on it. What do you think's going to happen? Come on.
Well, Superman's on holiday.
That's true.
So maybe they were involved.
Oh, do you think that they would beat her up and then Superman would show up and give him a stern talking?
Well, normally, yeah.
Yeah, right, okay.
Under different circumstances.
Well.
Anyway, it's time for green trivia and also that guy who shouts Rodney. He's back.
I love that.
Yeah, I know, right? So the original script, there were various incarnations, but one of the versions had Supergirl trying to rescue Superman who had fallen ill due to Selina's magic. And that's good.
I thought you were going to say fallen down a well. I've fallen down this well, Supergirl, which is why you can't see me.
Yep.
And my voice is quite tinny, and you may not recognize me as Christopher Reeve, but it is me.
Also, it's magic is the reason I'm in here. It's one of my weaknesses. They actually did think about it.
Oh.
Yeah. Brooke Shields was the first choice for Supergirl, but then was turned down due to being 6 foot tall. Deborah Wing was also considered, along with Melanie Griffiths, but they decided to go with an unknown, which I think makes sense because Chris Reeve was the same.
And they could pay her less.
They could also pay her less, yeah.
Because they had to spend $1 million in that opening sequence with the lights and the titles.
Dolly Parton was offered $7 million to take on the role of Selina. That's crazy.
That's so much money.
Yeah, but she turned it down, claiming that she couldn't play a witch no matter how much money was offered. Jane Fonda and Goldie Hawn also turned down the role. And Helen Slater, she actually ended up later playing Lara, Clark Kent's real mother in Smallville.
That's right.
And also Supergirl's adoptive mother in the Supergirl series.
That's right.
And that's good.
She's also in an episode of Seinfeld.
Boo, 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 boo. Jerry Seinfeld dated a high school girl. Also, boop, 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 boop. Don't do that. Don't do it.
Wow.
Anyways, the budget of this was inexplicably $35 million.
That's a lot for the time.
I guess it's not the worst looking even Superman movie because we've talked about the Chris Reeve movies.
Mm.
And Superman 4 looks much worse than this. And I'm not saying this looks good. That's not what I'm saying. But there are elements of it where you go, okay, yeah, no, you
tried.
They
spent some money here.
Yeah.
Like even the sequence in the small town with the action and the cars, at least they had real cars moving around.
Yeah, moving about.
Yeah.
But the box office return for this was a paisley.
Okay, go on.
A paisley $14 million.
Not only a paisley $14 million. My goodness, that's barely nothing.
This also ties with Catwoman.
It should have been a tartan $200 million.
Disagree.
Mm.
And it's tied with Catwoman for the lowest DC movie Rotten Tomatoes score at 8%.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked about Catwoman, and this is worse.
Correct.
But maybe just because it's longer.
It's longer and, you know,
yeah.
It's early in the run. People didn't understand how to translate the tropes of superhero stuff to movies yet.
See, I disagree. I think there's some animated stuff which gets closer. I think if you look at the first two Chris Reeve movies, obviously they're better than this.
Sure.
This is just fucking whatever. And I think that's the problem with what happens to this universe. They're just like, I don't know, there's a dragon. I don't know, there's a nuclear man. I don't know.
Well, speaking of, you know what? At least
they I like the new.
At least they didn't have Supergirl fight an evil Supergirl at the end of this.
Yeah.
I mean, it's probably because they had Superman fight an evil Superman at the end of Superman 3, and they were going to have him fight essentially an evil Superman in Superman 4. Which would have been a really solid run, honestly.
Yeah, true. What a trilogy,
right?
Yeah, but just odd and bad.
Mm.
I almost want to say to people, like, you should watch this because it's so strange.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. But it's pretty difficult to look at.
And it's so long.
And it's so long. Which I feel is a common complaint, but I don't know. I feel like I'll watch a
2:45. I'll watch a 2:45 superhero movie at the movies, like in the present day, and I'm like, that isn't so bad.
That's fine. Yeah.
This felt like a 3 hour.
It really did. Yeah. At like 40 minutes in, and you look at it, and you're like, oh, how am I doing? And I was just like, oh no, this is bad news for me. It's my whole day. Anyways, do you know, Mason, you can actually see these videos early,
wow,
including this one. Here's a hint towards next week.
Oh.
But you might be like, where can you see that video on Batman Returns? We're finally coming back to it. Well, you can actually head over to BigSandwich.co, where there's not only early videos, there's also bonus stuff like movie commentaries.
Like early videos.
That's right. We actually just did one recently on the Flashpoint animated movie, where you might want to be like, what could those guys say over the top of that movie? Well,
that's right.
You have to find out.
That's right.
By giving us some money,
I guess. Little treat for you.
Yeah. Also, our podcast, The Weekly Planet, where we talk movies and comics and TV shows, that goes up there a day early and ad-free on Sunday as opposed to Monday. Or just, you know, subscribe and hang around here if you are so inclined.
And so go back in the back catalogue. So much good stuff in the back catalogue. Mm-hmm.
All right, everybody. Hope you had a paisley good time. Tartan time.
Yeah.
You had a good old tartan time.
I don't think this is going to be a running joke.
This is a running joke now.
Oh, no.
I declare.
Wow, it's not even Supergirl related.
Some would argue that it is.
Oh, my God.
All right, thanks, everyone.
Grab that Jamie, guys. We'll see you next week.
We'll have a tartan. Have a,
grab that this Omega Hedron.
Yeah, it's not anything. You're
no,
right.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. They can't all be winners. Sometimes we're just working stuff out, all right? These aren't scripted. Get off our backs.
I mean, imagine if this was.
Wow.
Good Lord.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.